providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Actually, we now call it the good news from KER. I have John Horvat on the line with me again. I spoke with John last week. Y'all heard a little bit about him, but I would like to elaborate now on what Mr. Horvat is all about. Let's talk first, John, if you don't mind, about your organization.
Okay, that's great. It's great to be back on the show. The name of my organization is the American Society for the Defense of Tradition, Family, and Property, and that's TFP for short.
Right.
And we're a civic organization of Catholic inspiration. We defend tradition, family, and property through books and publications, through activism on the streets, university activism. We do educational programs for youth. We have offices throughout the United States, and we are very active in a lot of the pro-family, pro-life issue, pro-traditional marriage issues that are out there, and that is what we do. We do it basically through books and publications and our activism.
Okay, and I appreciate that. I stand behind you so far for everything that I've heard that your organization now believes in. I'm coming from the same spot. John, having said that, we celebrated Columbus Day last Monday, almost actually about a week ago. You wrote an interesting article on the personality of Christopher Columbus. Take a couple of minutes, if you would, John, and let's go over that. His personality, his beliefs, etc.
Right. I mean, as you know, there's so much has been written about him that is not true, and they're trying to take away his holiday and put in its place the Indigenous Days or other types of days. But if you look at the history of Christopher Columbus, you find that he was a very religious man, and he had very much in mind the idea of evangelization, of helping people. And he was not a person that was in it for the money. He did not make money off this adventure. He thought he was going to China. He thought he was going to the other side of the world. He had other goals. He had other goals in mind when he just bumped into America. So, he has been very much mischaracterized, and I think that is very, very unfortunate, because he did a lot for America. He didn't enslave the populations. The Caribbean Indians that he ran into already had slavery, and especially some of these tribes were cannibals. They had very customs that were extremely hard on the people they subjected themselves to. So it's a case of history being rewritten that I think needs to be corrected.
I think probably with some of the movements going on in the United States right now, I mean, this past week in, I believe it was Portland, Oregon, statues were torn down of Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. I simply can't understand at all why that happened, and I have to just chalk it up to the incredibly high level of anger in the country right now, which I have personally experienced just this past week. Having said that, John, I want to talk a little bit about Catholicism. I want to start out by asking you a question about the Pope. A lot of my friends, a lot of my Catholic friends, feel that perhaps the Pope is a little bit on the socialistic side. My personal thought about that is the Pope is the Pope. If you're a Catholic, you believe in the concept of the Pope, i.e. the position of being the highest official within the Catholic Church. I believe that. I don't see anything wrong with that personally. I do believe that non-secular items such as private property, etc., are probably not in his purview. John, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, there is a lot of controversy now, especially since he came out with an encyclical letter about 10 days ago, and or a little longer, 2 weeks ago, in which he talked about private property and giving this idea of property being The earth belongs to everyone. Everyone should share it. Everyone should have equal access to it. Borders should not exist, therefore, and you know, all these kind of things that are very far out in left field. And so I definitely think it's not according to church teaching. The church does teach about private property. I mean, it does. There are two commandments that defend private property: thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So,
right.
You know, it does have a bearing on certain moral issues, but you know, to enter into details like United Nations supervision and other things like that is completely out of the line of what the Pope should be doing.
Well, you know, I look at the example in the United States right now of open borders, and mm-hmm. open borders from an economic standpoint are very, very detrimental, in my view, to America. Having said that, I really, in the history of the world, open borders have never existed with any civilized societies, and I really believe that the concept of sovereignty of a country, it's been around for so long. It's what I grew up with, John. It's what you grew up with. And I think we really have to maybe draw a line in the sand here and say, you know, the Pope is very important in the lives of a lot of people, not just Catholics. But I think mm-hmm. to maintain that importance, he really needs to stay away from political issues. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but you have to be aware of your particular status in life. And I'm sure that Pope Francis is aware of his status, his role as given to him, as Catholics believe by God, is to simply keep the Catholic Church together. What are your thoughts on that, John?
Right. I mean, the Pope is a unifying factor. He is the head of the Church, and therefore, governs the Church. And, it doesn't necessarily mean he's a saint, because he is human and all humans make mistakes. They can make very serious mistakes. So, he is infallible according to church teaching in certain areas, but certainly not in economics and in the areas in which he has opined just recently in this encyclical letter that, just included so many themes that are very political, very socialistic, and cause a lot of confusion among Catholics because they say, well, what's going on? We need to think in terms of salvation of souls, and the moral issues that are the purpose for the Church to save souls and to bring to go to heaven. And the encyclical letter doesn't have anything at all about that, and so it is very confusing and perplexing for a lot of Catholics.
Well, as I understand the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, obviously focusing to a large extent on the New Testament here, Christianity is all about salvation. It's all about living according to the proclamation of the kingdom as Jesus Christ taught Christians. And I think if you go any farther than that, you're probably stepping out of bounds. Salvation is the most important part of Christianity. And some of the secular items that a lot of Christians are getting into right now, I think are going to do nothing but tear the people of the world apart from each other. John, I've got about a minute left. You got the final word, sir.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as you say, the Christian religion does go for the salvation of souls and the living of a virtuous life and staying within the commandments of God. And that's where we need to really, I think a lot of our problems today are not economic or political problems, but are moral problems.
Correct.
And if we concentrate on those moral questions, a lot of other things will be put in place.
John, I have to tell you, I agree 100%. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want any more information on John's organization, if you want to request a copy of his free book, simply click on the informational page that I placed regarding John Horvat going along with the weekend show here. Mr. Horvat, going to get you on more and more often. Thank you for your time.